say, I will do a thing in Israel. My message tonight is something good is about to happen. Something good is about to happen. Amen. How many of you believe that?
Amen.
We sing that song all the time. I just feel like something good is about to happen. And we sing the other one. I just feel like. But do you really believe that? That something good is about to happen? Amen. I know that something good is about to happen. That's why the devil is fighting us so bad. Amen. We're about to break out and we're about to have revival like Athens, Texas has never seen it before. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Brother Grissom was preaching the other night and he said, all it takes is one person. And if you didn't catch on to that, and if you're not going to be that one person, Michael Bacon's going to be that one person. Amen. I'm fired up. I'm ready to run through a wall. Amen. I know the story, something about going hunting for a bear with a switch, and when you get there, give the bear the switch and whoop him. Something. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about what God is doing in our life. And I'm glad that the devil is fighting, because it's putting something inside of me that makes me want to do more.
Right.
Amen. I want to do it better. I want to preach better. I want to pray better.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I want to fast better. I want to sing better. Whatever I can do to destroy what Satan is trying to do, I'm going to do it. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Are you on board with me tonight?
Hallelujah.
Amen. If we're all on board, let's pray and let's ask God to bless us tonight. Jesus, we thank you, Holy Spirit, Lord God, for what you have done so far in this service. God, you have placed this message upon my heart, and I ask you in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you would help me to preach it the way that you have given it to me, Lord God. You have some great things in store for us, God. You have a great thing in our life, Lord God, that's about to happen, and we ask you in Jesus' name, Lord God, with the authority, Lord God, through your precious name, Lord God, that you would let it come to pass. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Amen, amen. There are things that God is wanting to do in our lives, in each and every one of our lives. And my question to you tonight is, are you ready for it? Are you ready for it? Amen. Is your heart ready? Is your mind in the right place? Are you thinking of the things of this world, or are you thinking of the things of God? Where is your mindset? Your mindset has to be in the right place. Amen. We have to be focused upon God. Amen. We have to be focused upon God. We cannot allow the enemy to distract us from what God has for us. The young people have been learning in the last 4 weeks about distractions, mass weapons of distractions, and how different distractions in a young person's life can utterly destroy them. How many believe that? Distractions in all of our lives can destroy us. But we have been teaching about insecurities, about being insecure of yourself. That can be a distraction that can destroy you. Because when you meet somebody who possibly knows the Bible more than you do, and you start talking to them about the Lord, and they're like, well, what about this scripture? And what about this scripture? You know, you feel a little bit insecure. That can be a distraction that can destroy us, that can destroy you. But Brother Washington let me know earlier this morning, he said, Brother Bacon, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen. The devil can fight all he want. I can be insecure all I want. But at the end of the day, I serve a God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I can ask or even think. Hallelujah. But insecurities can be a distraction. Relationships can be a distraction. Amen. Young people say amen. Relationships can be a distraction. We haven't got to that one yet. That one's coming up next week. So I know one person is excited about it, because he told me the other day, he's like, it's kind of going to give it away. I'm sorry. He said, Dad, I want to hear about the relationship distraction thing. And I said, well, you're going to hear it. But relationships can be a distraction. and media. 2 weeks ago, we taught on media and the things that the media is trying to do nowadays, from videos to newspaper to magazines to CNN, all over the world, trying to take things and twist them, and just media can be a distraction to us. Amen? What are we focused on? What are we focused on? Are we focused on the things of this world? Or are we focused on Jesus Christ and what we're supposed to do? Overachievements can be a distraction. An overachiever can be distracted. Amen? Because you start thinking, well, you know, look what I did. Look how great I am. Amen. A preacher can get that mindset sometimes. Amen. He preaches a good old message and everybody's like, man, you did a good job. You did a good job. No. Wait a minute. It wasn't me. I'm just the mouthpiece of God. Amen. Amen. Honored to do this. But we're here just to preach whatever God has laid upon our hearts. Amen. An overachiever can be a distraction. God wants to do great things for us and through us, but just maybe we are hindering that from happening. Maybe our mind is not in the right place. Maybe our focus is not exactly on the Word of God and what where it should be. But the scripture that I was reading, the Lord told Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel. Well, it's obviously that we're not in Israel, and obviously that we're not in the Old Testament, but I still do believe that God is going to do a thing in our life. And that's where the little piece of papers come into play at. I want you to write down one thing. You can only write down one thing, Sister Covey. I know how detailed you are, but you can only write down one thing that you want God to do and to change in your life, spiritually. Amen? Not physically, not anything else. Spiritually. What do you want God to change? Personally. Yes. Personally? I mean, no, it could be whatever. Church body, it could be personally. Whatever you want, a thing that God is ready to do in your life. What do you want to see God do? He's ready to do something good in our life. Amen. So while I'm preaching, whatever, if you want to write it down, you're more than welcome to. When you write this down, be careful, because the enemy then sees it and the enemy will attack it. So if you're not ready to go to war, don't write it down. Amen? Amen? If you're not ready to go to war, a couple weeks ago, Pastor Grissom preached a message, ready to go to war. How many of you are ready to go to war? I'm ready to fight the devil. I'm ready to go to war with the devil. Hallelujah. So I want you to write it down only if you're ready to go to war. This thing can mean anything to you. Okay? It can be anything that you want God to do in your life. It can be something spiritual, a closer walk with Him, more fasting, more praying. Whatever you need, a thing that God can do in your life, I want you to write it down. Amen, and keep it for after a while. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse number 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Just like in those days, today the word of the Lord is precious. Amen. But especially in those days that there was no open vision. Prophecy was very, very scarce in those days, which made the call to Samuel a great surprise to him and a great favor to the children of Israel. Amen. There will come a point to where it will be scarce again. The word of God will be scarce. Y'all believe that? There will come a time where we are attacked. There will come a time where things will happen in our life, and revelations, and you know, there may not be all the preaching that we get now. we may be limited to coming to the house of the Lord. And the word of God may become scarce in our lives. Amen. But are you ready for that? Do you have enough spirituality inside of you that you can withhold that? You can withstand that. Amen. Do you have enough spirituality that you can go without hearing a little preaching every now and then? Amen. The word of God says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." It's important for us to hide the word of God inside of us. We have to be careful that we do not allow our feelings to get in the way of the things that God is trying to do in our lives. We have to live a holy and a godly life. A holy and a godly life. His spirit is precious, and we do not want it to be removed because some crazy thing that we're doing in our life. Amen. We don't want to have a reprobate mind. Basically what I'm trying to say. We don't want to have a reprobate mind. Amen. We don't want his spirit to be precious, to not be precious. Amen. We want it to be precious. Amen. And it came to pass at the time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes became to wax dim, that he could not see, and the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. At this point in Eli's life, he was at a point of retirement. Brother Hart can kind of understand what he's going through. Retirement age. Isn't that nice to be able to retire? Brother Wagner, isn't it nice to be able to retire? Take it easy. Amen. But the life of Eli, when you're a child of God, there is no retirement age. Amen? There is no retirement age. A life of a minister, we're all ministers. Amen? There is no retirement age for us to sit back and take it easy and just, you know, live life. But we have to teach. We have to preach on and on and on, no matter how old we are. Sister Dickerson, are you still teaching and preaching and calling people and letting them know that God loves them? Amen. I know she is because she talked to me a couple of weeks ago about a friend of hers. She said, "Brother Bacon, you keep her in your prayers. I'm talking to her." Amen. At this elderly age, she's still doing what God wants her to do. And that's to try to win somebody to Jesus Christ. Amen. But Eli had retired, and Samuel was waiting on him. He was serving him. And he was within a call of his voice. Maybe he was in the same room with him, maybe in another area, or maybe he was in the same house, but he was within call of Eli. The next scripture, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went to lay down. See, God called him by name, but he took it for Eli's call. Sometime in our life, we think that somebody is calling us, but it may be the Lord God that's trying to call us and trying to get our attention. But we take it for somebody else. We have to be very, very careful in our walk with God that somebody doesn't say, "Brother Fry, God told me this, this, and this about your life." You got to be careful, because not everybody hears from God. Amen. Some people say, "Well, I heard from God, and this is what he said." We got to be careful that we don't listen to the wrong person. We have to be careful that we're listening to the right voice. Got to be careful that we're listening to the right voice. Amen. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, "I called not, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. What a sad thing. that Samuel did not know the Lord at this time. You know, being with Eli, you would think that he would be in the presence of Eli at some point in his life praying or seeking the will of the Lord. The Bible says that at this point, Samuel, he didn't know the Lord. The Lord hadn't been revealed to him yet. Moms and dads, we got to be careful that we teach our kids. We got to be very, very careful that we don't just expect Sunday school to take care of the teaching of our kids. Amen? We got to be careful that we don't just let the preaching of the preacher teach our kids. But we got to start at home. We got to teach our kids at home. We got to teach them how to pray. We got to teach them the things of God. Amen? We got to teach our children. And don't just like with school education. Nowadays, one of the main reasons our school system is so messed up is because parents just say, well, deal with them. Here's my kid. Deal with them. Teach them. If you have any teachers in here, I know that Sister Shaddix used to be a teacher. You know, and there are parents, you know, when you call them and say, hey, your kid's acting crazy, they'll say, okay, he does it at home, deal with it. We got to teach our kids. We got to teach them the things that are right and the things that are wrong and the things about God. Amen? Don't expect Sunday school to do it. Amen. I learned a lot of things in Sunday school. Brother Wagner, Sister Elaine, Sister Flat, good teachers. They taught me a lot of the stories I still remember. But don't leave it for them to do it all. Amen? Moms and dads, it's our job to teach our kids. It's our job to teach them what's right and what's wrong. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived, finally, the third time, perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go, lie down, and it shall be. And if he call thee, that thou sayest, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Everybody say, Eli finally woke up. Reach over at your neighbor and kind of nudge him and say, wake up. It's time for us to wake up. Time for us to wake up. The enemy is trying to attack us. The enemy is trying to come through the back door. He's trying to come in through the side door. He's trying to come in through the front door. He's trying to come in whatever part of the church body that he can to attack us and to destroy us. He doesn't want a church in Athens, Texas. He does not want a church in Athens, Texas. He has tried for many, 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 many years to destroy this church and to destroy this work that God has put in Athens, Texas. Amen. Brother O.E. Davis has fought time and time and time and time again. Years and years and years. I believe it was 44 years. Something like that. 45. That's a long time to fight. And I know that he had struggles and he had battles. Every pastor goes through it. But we have to keep on. Because God wants a church in Athens, Texas. Amen? And it's our job to keep the church in Athens, Texas. Amen. Amen. And to build it up and to get people involved and to see people saved, to see them go to heaven with us one of these days. Amen. And the Lord came and stood and called as the other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. For thy servant heareth. The Bible says, and the Lord came and stood. There was evidently some kind of visual contact here between Samuel and the Lord. Notice that he did not say what Eli told him to say. He left out one word. He left out Lord. Eli told him, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And when God called his name again, Samuel, Samuel, and Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. Was it because Samuel was maybe not sure exactly who was calling him? Or maybe when the Lord God came into the room and stood, maybe he saw who it was and he was just like, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Amen. Wouldn't it be nice just to have the Lord come down and just have that contact with him, that visual? Wouldn't it be nice? Amen. But we have that spiritual. His spirit comes down, service after service. His spirit was here this morning. His spirit is here tonight. We have that contact. It may not be visual. We don't have to have a visual contact because we know that God is real, and we have faith and we believe that God is real. Amen. And we feel him in our lives, and he is with us every day of our lives. Amen. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a great thing in Israel, at which both ears of every man that heareth it shall tingle." How many of you wives sometimes think that your husband only hears with one ear? Could you speak to him and it's just like he don't answer you, he don't listen? Later on you're talking to him about something and you say, "Well, hey, you know, what about this?" And he was like, "What about it?" You're like, "Well, I told you last week about it. You not hear me?" "No." "I didn't hear you." Some of them call that selective hearing. And some of it call it, men just call it just being busy and they didn't hear you. Amen? It's not selective hearing. You just were doing something else and caught up in the time or whatever. You just didn't hear them. Amen. But the Bible says that which both ears of every man that heareth it shall tingle. What thing are you needing from God tonight? What thing in your life are you wanting God to do? Amen. Is it something spiritual? Is it something physical? What are you wanting God to do in your life? That's my question to you. John chapter 14 and verse number 12. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. The paper that you have tonight, here in just a little bit, we're all gonna stand up and we're gonna ask in the name of Jesus. And the Bible says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, Brother Ward, he may not do it tonight. He may not do it tomorrow. But sooner or later, he will do that thing in your life. His promises are always true. Amen? How many of you have ever been in a situation where God let you down? Don't believe I've ever been in a situation like that. He's always come through. He's always come through. Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 18. "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you..." See, Brother Washington didn't know how right on the money he was tonight. "That if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst." We just need two people to agree tonight. Amen. 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 How many are going to agree tonight? How many are going to agree tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you will, stand with me tonight. Take the piece of papers that you have in your hand that you have written on, whatever, and I want you to hold them up in the air. I want you to say, "The walls of Jericho must come down. In the Old Testament, what happened? They had to walk around the walls of Jericho. They had to bring down some things that were in the way of where they were wanting to go. Sister Frater, they were wanting to go where God had promised them to go, to the promised land. But there was something that was in their way. And there may be something that's in somebody's way tonight. I know this may have been kind of a weird, kind of different message, but it's okay. There may be something that may be hindering us from God doing a thing in our life. Just like in those times, they walked around 7 times around the walls of Jericho. And I would like for us tonight, if you're able to walk around this sanctuary 7 times tonight. And on that 7th time, I want us to give a shout, and I want us to cry out in the name of Jesus. And I do believe that He is going to bring down some things tonight. Hallelujah. I believe that the spiritual battles that we have been fighting are going to come down tonight. They're going to be destroyed tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. How many of you agree with me tonight? Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Jesus.